I delight to do thy will, oh my God. We're talking about today the sweet will of God.
Yes.
And how we can allow this to cover our lives. That song says, oh sweet will of God, thou hast girded me round like a deep moving, what did it say? That girds the sea. See, we want the will of God girded about us. And as we get up each day, let's take it day by day, so to speak. As we get up each day, we want to have the will of God girded about us so that what we're doing is what he wants us to do.
Right.
What we're saying is what he wants us to say. What we're thinking is what he wants us to think.
Right.
What we, our attitude is what he wants us to have. There's a sister in Florida used to sing a song about, you remember Sister Zola? I'm trying to think, but she had this song, Great Change Has Been Born, you know, since I've been born. She tells all the things that she does, you know, she doesn't, the things she used to do, she doesn't do anymore. And the things she used to say, she doesn't say anymore. And the things she wore, she used to dress, she doesn't dress anymore. All of these things has been changed. Well, the same thing with our daily lives. What we do, what we say, what we think, and our attitude. She even had the attitude I used to have, I don't have anymore. So we want all of this to be girded by the word of God, will of God. You know, Jesus, and we'll read that, everything he did was fulfilling the scripture, and it was because of the will of God. And we want to have that attitude. I do this because it's God's will. And why do I do it because his will? Because I love him. See, it's bound in love. That song says the bondage of love. He's talking about how he just flings himself out on the infinite will of God, but it's because of love that he does it. You know, God gets no pleasure in us doing things and we don't want to do it. You know, we have children sometimes. You can tell them to do things. Some of them might want to do it and be glad to do it. And some of them do it because they're afraid of a whipping. Or they don't really want to do it. It's really hard for me to have somebody do something for me and they don't want to do it. When they don't want to do it, it makes me not want them to do it. Well, don't you think the Lord is like that? If we do his will because we have to do it, I gotta do it, but I don't wanna do it. He probably just rather you not do it. Just, you don't wanna do it, then, you know, I get somebody else. Anyway, let's move on. Psalms 40:8. Did somebody read that? Read it again.
I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart.
See that? Not I have to do your will. You do if you want to go to heaven, but that's not good enough. I delight to do thy will. Yeah. You know, it's a dear child that delights to do what you tell them to do. You ask them to go get you a cup of water, and they get it with a smile, and they like to do it, you love that. That shows you they love you. But then a child that does it, you know, begrudgingly with a face, that don't work. So we want to like to do the will of God. Matthew 12 and 15.
For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother.
You see what Jesus said? You want to be like his sister or his brother or like his mother to him? That means you're dear to me. It's like being a dear child, a dear relative. That's the one that Jesus appreciates because we want to do the will of the Father. Now, I want us to look at Jonah. So this is the way some people look at the will of God. I want us to take a look at Jonah's life. Jonah looked at the will of God as something to run away from, didn't he?
Yeah.
You say go to Nineveh and no. But had he really been willing to do the will of God from the beginning, he would have saved himself some heartache.
That's right.
And also, he would have really, if he could have just had a mind and a heart to do God's will, he would have been able to see the sweetness of what he did.
That's right.
Let's go to Jonah and read verse, chapter 1, verse 1 to 10.
Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarsus from the presence of the Lord, went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarsus. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them into Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Shipmaster came to him and said to him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, it shall be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said, everyone to his fellow, come, let us cast lots, that we may know of whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil has come upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and what people art thou? 9. And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. 10. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them.
When he told them that he feared the Lord, the God that made the sea and all, that put a fear on those people.
Yeah.
They couldn't understand, you know, if you really fear the God of heaven, why aren't you doing what he tells you to do? Why are you running from his presence? You can't run from the presence of the Lord. But anyway, you see, Jonah did not really fear the Lord as he should, and he mostly wanted things his way. Because as we read the rest of the story, we'll find out he had some attitude problems. So we don't want to be a Jonah. We don't want to look at the will of God as something to run away from, or it's too hard, or we can't do that, or I can't live like that. But we want to see it as precious and something to be, to do, but to do with joy and with love. And like David said, it, with sweetness, that is sweet to me. It may not be, filled so sweet, but it's sweet in my soul. Do you know there's going to be a peace and there's going to be glory from heaven if we will do the will of God? So Jonah, as the story goes, Jonah was thrown overboard, and we know the story, into the sea, and God prepared a whale or a big fish to swallow him up. God has so much love. You know, he could have let Jonah drown and say, I'll just get somebody else. But he didn't. He had love. He let him get in that belly of that fish and stay in there 3 days and three nights and even survive. Can you imagine being able to still breathe and talk and survive in the belly of a fish? This was a God-prepared fish, because none of the others, you could do that, and it would happen. So, but God gave him mercy, and he prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord had mercy, and he let the fish throw him up overboard. And then he went and did what the Lord wanted to do. The Lord wanted him to go to Nineveh, to tell those people that they would be in, I believe, let's read, hold on, the third chapter.
Which verse?
Start at verse 1.
And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee.
Okay.
So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. 4. Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them.
Keep going.
For word came unto the king of Nineveh. He arose from his throne. He laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and set in ashes. 7. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. 8. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hands. 9. Who can tell if God will turn and repent, and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not?
10.
And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did not.
Do you see? Now, if he could have had the right attitude and done this in the very beginning, look, a whole nation repented before God. A whole nation. Look at the sweetness that would have come out of doing the will of God. But he had an attitude. Let's read a little bit in chapter 4.
But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. He was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before Tarsus, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live.
Let's stop there. Jonah had an attitude. He, yes. if if he could have said those words and knew that those people would have been destroyed, he'd have been okay with it.
Yes.
But now I've said these words, and you have repented, and you have given these people mercy.
Right.
You know, we don't need to look at the will of God like that.
Right.
We need to realize that God knows better than we do. We can only see so far. We don't know the outcome. We don't know the end. But we need to submit to the will of God. So we want to go to Proverbs 3, 5, and 8.
All right. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be help to thy nail, and battle to thy bone.
That's good. Now you see, if we can just obey the Lord. I told this one time, I don't know if you all heard it, but one year I used to come every month to Wichita. The Lord told me to do it, to come and help Brother Emmanuel. So once a month I would come. But this one particular day I was coming, I would drive from Dallas to Wichita. Sometimes I would drive from Dallas and I would stop at Sister Cheryl's house. I'd spend the night, then I would come to Wichita. This particular day, I got off the expressway. For some reason, I think I just really wanted to hurry up and get to her house, right? The Lord spoke to me and he said, get some gas, get your gas today. And I thought, no, I just wanted to hurry and get to her house. So I'm thinking, you know, I can get it in the morning, right? On my way. Well, I went on. And then the next morning, I don't know if I woke up later or what, but I recognized that I should have gotten that gas yesterday. Now, I got to get it, but it was going to be like not as good as if I had gotten it the day before. This scripture came to me. This one right here. Lean not to your own understanding. I didn't know that I might wake up a little later. I didn't know that it was going to be a little bit more a disadvantage to get the gas in the morning. See, sometimes we think we know, right? But we want to, the scripture said, read it again.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding.
Right, that's what he was telling me. Lean not to thy own understanding. Trust in the Lord. I know what's best. The Lord knew the next day what was going to happen. It's human nature many times to get those little checks. The Lord will check us. And if we will listen to his checks, it will be a blessing. That scripture goes on and said, be healthy, go down. If you do this,
in all thy ways,
be not what?
It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones.
See, that's what it's going to be. It's going to come out as sweetness.
That's right.
It's going to be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. What can we do? Can we walk and use our bones without marrow? I think we would have a really difficult time, right? It's essential. Marrow is essential to our bones. And the same way the will of God is. It's essential to our spiritual life. No matter how much we think something is right or the best way, God's way is best. Can we sing one verse of that song? God's way is best.
God's way is best if human wisdom, a fair way may seem to show. 'Tis only better earth ambition, the truth can never really know. God's way is best, I will not turn.
Yes. You know, once one of those verses said, had I the choosing of, let's just sing that one, and then that'll be enough. Yes. Now, you see, Jesus was an example. Jesus was the Son of God. He had power. He had all power in heaven and earth was given into his hand. He could do anything he wanted to do. But he submitted to the will of God. He was our example. We want to read some of the words he said that lets us know how important the word will of God was and how important it was to him. He came to the earth to do the will of God. John 6 and 38, he says, no, 37 says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. We want to be like Jesus. We want to have the same mind that he has. We can't, you know, we're saved. Almost everybody in here is saved as far as I know. But we're saved to do the will of God. Not our own will, but God's will. Let's go to John 12. Somebody read verse 47 to 50. And I'm going to read.
And if any man hear my words,
yes,
and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judges him. Word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day.
That's all the way to 50?
Oh, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment which I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting, whatsoever I speak thereof, even as the Father saith unto me, so I speak.
You see that? Even the words he said, that's the way we should have that attitude. What the Lord says to speak,
that's
speak. And what he doesn't want us to speak, Zip. Zip. That's what we have to do. We have to learn to do that. That's not, it doesn't come natural. We have to do that. We have to beat ourselves under and zip our lips when the Lord says zip. But when he says speak, then we should speak and speak what he says to speak. A lot of times we can see a situation and feel like, you know, I got this. I know how to solve this. And you know what? Sometimes we can say the wrong words and mess things up so bad that it's hard to fix. We need God's leadership. We need his divine leadership. We need his guidance in the things we say. You know something? When, as parents, when we have children, we feel like this is my child and I can tell them what I want to. Exactly what I want to tell them. But do you know, I believe the Lord doesn't want us to do it like that. I believe he wants us to depend on him. Sometimes children can be a problem. How do we solve it? We can't always solve it because we're the parent. We can't always, I'm the parent, I have the authority, I can say what I want to. But that is not really the way the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to lean on him for wisdom. And sometimes the very thing that you say could crush that child and maybe for life have an effect on them. You could turn children away from salvation. You could be a saved parent and not treat your children or talk to them the way you should and turn them away and give them bad taste for saved people. We don't want to do that. We need God's guidance and his wisdom how to work with children, how to work with little children, teenage children, and adult children. Our adult children, they may be our child. We may feel like we can still handle them like we did when they were at home, but we can't. We need wisdom from the Lord just to know how to talk to them and how to work with them. I need wisdom. I have children. I have grandchildren. I cannot say everything that I feel like saying. And sometimes when I do, I regret it if I say it in myself. But if I trust in the Lord to give me wisdom, how to talk to this child. The Lord knows each one of these children's hearts. He knows their makeup. He knows what affect them and how it affect them. So we need his wisdom in working with our children. Jesus said, what the Lord tells me to say, I say it. Now, mind you, he was the Trinity, part of the Trinity. You would think he could come down and say whatever he wanted to say, but he didn't. He depended on God to give him the very words to say. He says in John 5:30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me. You know, even as ministers, we have to be careful, because we have to do what the Lord wants us to do. We have to say what the Lord wants us to say. Even when somebody comes to us for counsel, the very first thing I try to do when somebody wants to counsel with me is to pray and ask the Lord. Even if they just come to me and they want to confide in me or ask me something or something, I whisper a prayer to the Lord. Lord, help me. I can't do this on my own. I say so many times, I tell him, Lord, I cannot do this on my own. I need you. And then he gives me what to say. And when the person has been helped, it's him. Don't give me no praise. It's him. It's God. because I can of my own self do nothing. And so this is the attitude we all must have or need to have, whether it's from the ministry, whether it's a deacon, whether it's a Sunday school teacher, or whether you're just a regular member. All of us need to depend on the will of God. We need to be careful of our words. By thy words, thou shalt be justified, and by thy words, thou shalt be condemned. We have to be careful of our words. We're going to face those words in eternity. Did you know the scripture said every word that a man speaks shall he be judged by? In eternity, we're going to face some of these words that we said, all of them. So we have to be careful what we say. If Jesus felt that, and he was the Son of God, how much more should we feel it when we're just a piece of dust? That's all we are. If I did like this, that's me right there, a piece of dust. That's all we are. And so we need to depend on the living God for our words, for our actions, for our attitudes. Sometimes we can have say the right word but have the wrong attitude. So it came out okay. But God knew your attitude. We need to work on those attitudes and ask God to help us that my attitude will be according to your will, just like my words, just like my actions, just like everything I do or say. We want to look at the apostles and how they felt about the will of God.
Acts 5:25-29. Then came one and told them, saying, "Behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men."
We ought to obey God rather than men. They took a chance. Those men had told them not to preach in the name of Jesus, but they took a chance because of the will of God. Sometimes we're going to have to go against what somebody else feel like because we have to do the will of God. Another person might say, "Oh, I don't think you ought to do that," or "You ought to, you don't have to live like that. You have all these things." If you trust in the Lord and you choose to trust the Lord for your body, sometimes you get some negative stuff said to you. "Well, I think you ought to do this. You ought to have this done and the other." And if you don't do that, people feel bad. But we ought to obey God rather than man. They felt that way, and that's what we should do as well. Let's go to Acts 26:19.
"Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision."
This is what Paul was telling. He told King Agrippa his experience of when he was going to Damascus, and he was really getting papers, I think, to try to get some of the Christians and have them put in prison. And some of them even had to die. But when he went to this Damascus on the road, the light shone down and he had heard a voice saying, "Paul, Paul, why persecute thou me?" And the Lord spoke to him then, and he gave his heart to the Lord, turned him around. He began to be a preacher for the very cause that he was fighting against. And here he said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. In other words, I am doing the will of God. I'm no longer going the way I was going. I'm going a different way because I want to do the will of God. He came face to face with God and he realized that Jesus was the way instead of the way he was going. And he changed and became obedient to God from that point until he died. So let's think about what it takes to do the will of God. You know what it takes? It takes denying ourselves. It takes dying out to ourselves. We cannot keep our own way and do the will of God. It's just not going to work. We're going to have to die to self. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, had to submit to the will of God. He knew what he was facing. You see, sometimes we don't know all of what we're facing. When the Lord tells us, he may tell us, don't go here or don't go there. And we don't know what that's going to mean. Or go here or go there. We don't know the full extent of it. But Jesus knew exactly. I believe he even knew what the pain was going to feel like. He knew they were going to spit in his face. He knew the shame he was going to bear. He knew from start to finish. And so that's why he was agonizing in Gethsemane. And sometimes we may have to agonize to make sure that we do God's will. It may be, Lord, I really want to do this really bad. And the Lord said, no, we may have to do just like Jesus did. Let's go to Matthew 26 and read 36 to 43.
Matthew 26:36-43. Mm-hmm. Then cometh Jesus with him unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth him asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Yes.
And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy.
You see what was happening? And I think about, it's so much to think about in this situation Jesus was in. But he had those disciples, and it was a time he needed them. He said, watch here while I go and pray yonder. Then he comes back in their sleep. But he was saying, he was feeling the whole load of what he was getting ready to go through. And he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. In other words, Lord, I know I came here. No doubt all of this was in his mind. Because he said he watched with me for an hour. So he probably was there for a while. And no doubt he was agonizing, but he recognized, I know I just came into the world for this. But this, the pain and the suffering, it's hard. Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but it's thy will. Sometimes we may have to go through a Gethsemane.
That's right.
To be able to do the will of God.
That's right.
But what happened? He did it. And in his doing it, what was the sweetness that came out of it? Nations of people are saved, have been saved because of it. If he hadn't been willing to do it, you and I today would not be saved. We would not have an opportunity to even, maybe even know what to do. See, it is God. And he opened up salvation, not to just to the Jews, but to all nations and all people and everywhere, that they could be saved and they could go to heaven and they could have eternal life through Jesus agonizing and following the will of God and going to the cross and being resurrected again. Today we can rejoice in him and be free and happy and all the benefits that we have for him. This is the sweetness that came out of Jesus's obedience to God. And there's going to be some sweetness that's going to come out of our lives if we are willing to submit ourselves to the will of God. Pray for me.